Okay, I think we're ready to start back. Do I have a testimony? Just a little testimony to start us off in faith. Anybody? Oh, come on, bring it on. I'll come to you. How's that? There's two of you. You and Brad and Maybelline.
I just wanted to tell what happened earlier today. This morning, I leaned over to get my medicine before I ever got out of bed, and my back caught me. The worst it's ever, the pain was worse than it's ever been. And I literally had to lay back down and start rebuking it and talking to it and said, I'm going to church anyway. Well, through the first session, I don't know if anybody's seen how many times I was moving around over here. I couldn't get comfortable because my back was hurt. And afterward, when we had the first break, I went up to Donica and I said, I'm having some back problems. And I told her about this morning. And I think she's going to tell you what somebody told her before she came. But she prayed with me, and the pain is gone.
Praise God for that. The Lord prepares you. Remember I said he prepares you for the assignments he gives you? What had happened is I started having back problem stuff right here, working on my shoulders and neck. And my dear girlfriend that prays with us, she's on our board, and she has been praying for the church, meeting with us at prayer gatherings, praying for the meetings here for God to meet you. And her daughter is in a wheelchair, has the same diagnosis as Brad. She called me up. She said, I know why you're having these problems. I said, I'm not stressed at all. I said, I know the peace of God is with us to go here, and it's going to be good. I said, so I don't understand why my shoulders are locking up like this. She said, it's for somebody there, and the Lord is going to have you minister to them. And it was Brad. And so when he said that, I thought, oh, my, isn't that wild? So I said, I'm going to lay hands on him right now and pray for him. Glory be to God, Brad. Thank you for testifying. Maybelline.
Praise God. I am speechless, I guess. But I know I need to tell you that God has moved in a mighty way in my life this weekend, and I think I'll only, time will tell all that he has done, but I do want to testify specifically about last night. I was up front, and this sister who has the healing gift came over and began to pray with me. It was for the, actually, we were up there for the prophets. There was so much went on last night, I can hardly contain it all. But anyway, she came over and began to pray with me. And I know most of you know that I've went through breast cancer, and only God knew the specifics that she told me last night, that the supraclavicular node was involved. And only God knew that, because I had not even told my husband that lately I'd been praying, because I've had a peace about this and know that God is my healer and that by his stripes I'm healed. And I walk in abundant life and in health. And my body and my soul I walk in abundant life and I prosper even as my soul prospers. But last night, I'd been feeling this node somewhat again, and I had my 20th radiation treatment yesterday. But anyway, God sent her to speak to me. And she said, you've got this going on, this sickness in this area. I thought, Lord, you know me. You know all about everything. Lord, you're so holy that you love me so much that you would specify, I cannot feel that node. Praise God. Hallelujah. I had been asking God. I've been saying, Lord, I'm healed. I know I'm healed. Lord, but I want to feel this node when I reach up here and I reach here. Just, I don't want to feel that node, Lord. I don't feel that node. Hallelujah. He is a healing Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 And I would just like to share one other thing that the Lord brought to my mind when because I was feeling like I needed to testify. And I said, Lord, what am I going to say? I don't know all to tell everybody what you've done for me. Because when my husband and I went home last night, the awesome presence of God was so great. We just could hardly go to sleep. We could hardly eat. We could hardly. It was there again this morning. But this week, on Monday, usually when I go for radiation, I go in, I get undressed, I walk back, and if I'm there in the seat 5 minutes, it's unusual, and I go back and I'm treated, and within 15 minutes, we're walking out the door. On Monday of this week, usually my husband's went back with me every time to the waiting area, but on Monday this week, he sat in the front where the guests, the family's supposed to really be sitting. And I went back to the back in the waiting area. And I sat there and I sat there and I sat there. And I don't know, I was there a long time, probably 45 minutes or so. But anyways, this couple came in. And I had been sitting there working on a puzzle that they'd given, had out for the patients to work on. But I just got up immediately when they came in, and I moved over and had some little conversation with them, but they didn't say much. The Lord just kept saying to me, you need to talk to them. You need to strike up a conversation. I just felt that in my spirit. I began to talk to them, and they had a 16-year-old daughter who was undergoing radiation. At that very same time, my husband was ministering to another couple in the front. And the Lord just knew that we need to be in separate places that day. We never do that. And praise God, that's how much He loves us. Praise God. He's an awesome, awesome God. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming. This is priceless, priceless. Praise God. Hallelujah. We give God the glory.
We serve a good God. He wants us whole, whole, restored, healed, cleansed, delivered, sealed, filled. Let's stand up and let's make a proclamation together. Okay, page 17. Now keep in mind, this is not words on a page. This is the Word of God sent forth in this region, over our personal lives, over our families, over our homes, neighborhoods, the city, the church, the whole state, this region of the East Coast. And when we realize that, that's the faith that we need to receive the promises that come with the Word. How many times have we said the Word of God and not really believed it? And then when the answer came and that Word returned to us full, not void, but full, and we go, oh, whoa, we're surprised. Let's expect it this time, okay? God is giving me, say it with me, God is giving me beauty for ashes, the oil of gladness in place of mourning. I am free from the shackles of sin and death, abuse and bondage, fear, torment, and all manner of evil. God causes me to continually triumph over evil. I can laugh at the days to come, for He knows the future from the beginning and makes a way of escape before my enemy can entangle me. I walk by His Holy Spirit and not by my flesh. I overcome every obstacle with obedience and courage in the Holy Spirit. I am quick to obey, reaping every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. I thirst for God's righteousness like I thirst for water. I ingest his word daily, not living by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Jehovah God. My God is great, triumphant, and unchanging in all his ways. His blood has paid the price for all of my sins, and I am redeemed, heir to the kingdom of heaven. He anoints my head with oil. My cup continually runs over with the blessing from his throne. He prepares a place for me in the presence of my enemies and exalts me because I am in Christ Jesus, the Son. I am safe. I am healed. I have the mind of Christ. I rejoice with him. I weep with him. I am wed to him. And I experience all of his emotions, desires, and longings by the Holy Spirit who lives within me. He directs me daily. I hear and understand him clearly. My love for Christ Jesus is greater than any love the world has to offer. He ever lives to make intercession for me. His love for me is perfect, delivering me from all fear, regret, pain, torment, and any form of evil. I long to spend time with him in prayer. I listen, I hear, and I enjoy his presence. He delights in me. I am fearfully and wonderfully made by him. My love for him grows daily as I am continually being perfected and made into his image. Of this, I am fully persuaded. No earthly man, woman could ever love me as much as he does. I receive the fullness of his love through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, his personal promise to me. I, in turn, promise to revere and respect the Holy Spirit that dwells richly within me. I trust my Heavenly Father, and I know that he will never leave me nor forsake me. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you. You're our God and King. We are married to you, Lord. We commit ourselves anew, God. Take with us. Take you. Ooh, I'm drunk the Holy Ghost. Take us as your bride, Lord. Take us as your bride, Lord. Perfect us, God. We yield ourselves to you to do a mighty work in our hearts, Lord. We yield ourselves to you. We promise to put down the patterns of the past, the traditions of man that made a word of God of none effect. We lay them down now. Everything, every trouble that compelled us to even come here, we lay it down. Every single lie, every situation, every trauma, every pain, every fear, every trouble. We lay it at your feet right now. And Lord, we trust you that not only is today, this weekend, the day of our deliverance, but it's also the beginning of our sustenance. For territories that the enemy once owned, God, you have caused us to possess this day, this hour. And you teach us how to cultivate and maintain the soil that now belongs to us. You are teaching us through the shoulders who are coming up in a minute. You are teaching us how to cultivate the fields, how to keep them rich in Christ Jesus, full of the blessing and none of the curse. God, I thank you, Lord, for giving us the overcoming power of Christ Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that through this proclamation, every one of us opened up ourselves to be full of the Holy Spirit, that every recess is now occupied and we are no longer empty. Your word that has life and spirit, the Holy Spirit in it, dwells richly in us and fulfills every calling, every longing, every desire. fills us to overflowing in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. Karen and Phil. Karen and Phil are going to come up, and they're going to share with you a little bit about maintenance. Do y'all feel the fullness of the Spirit in here? Tell you what, there's no high like the Most High. Our God wants to visit us with the fullness of His presence so that we just are overflowing with His joy and His presence. There's no worries when you're under that. More like He's resting on you like a big old favorite comforter, like Linus's blanket. God's so good. He comforts us, that comforter, in us and upon us. Karen and Phil are going to talk about living it. You know, we can talk about getting set free from it, but then walking it out sometimes is a different story. Maintaining the ground. You know, once the Israelites possessed the promised land, they had to continue to fight the ites because they never annihilated them. They're going to talk to you about annihilation.
Before we do, I just, as we're starting to kind of wind the weekend down, I would love to give Todd and Donica honor where honor is due. Please give them a hand. Love you. The thing that draws us to this couple is their honesty. It is what it is with the Hudsons. And that's what, again, it's like a moth drawn to the flame. We just love their hearts for people and for the Lord. Well, Donica kind of caught us a little by surprise, but this is okay. This is good stuff. And the proclamation, I've never seen that. I've never seen that. That is phenomenal. I don't know what more we could say. I will say this. I would commend you and charge you to read this daily. That sums it all up. Because it calls on the manifest power of the Holy Spirit to do those things that we've been talking about all weekend long. Just to set you guys free and to keep you free and to keep you upright and to keep you walking in the power of the Almighty. I love that the final line that says, I trust my Heavenly Father and I know that He will never leave me nor forsake me. You see, up until this weekend, there's been many of you that don't trust anymore. And you don't trust the Father. You don't trust anybody. But notice I said until this weekend. Because I declared out of Romans that this is the time. This is the high time to awake now from your slumber. And to not stand for the enemy to take any more ground than he already has. Because now you're going to go and take it back. Every bit. We've talked to many of you. We've gotten the honor of praying with many of you. We've heard your stories. They're heartbreaking. But no more. No more. And I praise God for that. I love what God's done in the last couple of years because He's brought His Word alive in my heart in a way that I just can't even fathom yet. Because every time I read it, I love Him and I love my wife more and more. It says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and He's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, many of you came up here and you're heavy-hearted earlier and thinking, I've held on to this unforgiveness for so long, there's no way He can forgive me. And you've walked around with that mentality for years, and you come to church every Sunday, Wednesday, and you still leave without victory because you in your heart have accepted that, well, God can't really forgive me of this, so I'm just going to hang on to all this unforgiveness. But He can. He can. If we confess it, He will, and He's faithful. His Word, if you believe it, is true. And it says it right there. He will do it. One more scripture, and then I'm going to talk about a couple practical things and then turn it over to my precious wife. Men, these are vessels of honor. Don't defile them. Don't betray them. God has a divine purpose. It's an awesome plan. If we'll just let Him work it out, He knew we were going to take some deviations and get off the route. He knew that. It's not a shock to him. But as I said before, he won't violate our will. So our will has got to be, I want to get back on the horse. I want to get back on the route. That's all. You just got to keep getting back on one more time so we can knock those flies off that horse's butt. Okay? All right. This is out of James chapter 4. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Many times that is quoted, but there's a part left out. Many people will quote, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's true, but there's a very important part before that, and that's what had to come into my spirit was, therefore, submit to God. I would try to resist the devil before. Never worked. Well, why not? I never submitted myself to the Father. So what makes me think that he's going to make an exception for me? Ain't going to happen. I finally submitted, and that's what changed the whole thing. That's what empowered me to resist, forgive, and the devil has to flee.
The other thing he did was the Lord had been dealing with him for some time to tell me. And he was trying to do it on his own, him and God. Lord, I've already talked to you, so surely. But the Lord kept telling him, tell your wife, tell your wife, tell your wife. And until he got ready to where he just was about to pop, he finally told me. And there's a key with that forgiveness thing, especially in marriages, that lots of times we think we can deal with stuff vertically, and God will help us walk through it vertically, but there's times that we have to do the horizontal thing. We have got to confide in our spouse. And many relationships are not set up for confiding because one or the other one won't talk to you. But God will give you the right time for the confiding to take place, for that tenderness to be able to be transferred, because that was also part of the key to his healing, was that he submitted and did what God told him to do last. Some of you, God has told you to do something, dealing with your unforgiveness, and you've not done it. So I challenge you to go back and do the last thing God told you to do regarding that, because you won't take another step forward unless you go back and do the last thing God told you to do. If he told you to stand, and you're over here doing this, you're supposed to go back and stand until he says take another step. And when he says take a step, you make sure you take the right one, not the right or the left, the one forward when he said go forward.
Amen. Amen. And what she said, she didn't even realize that, you know, I was going to go on to the next part of James where it says confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Again, none of this is a surprise to God. He set these standards up and these things in his word because he knew what we were going to do for the next however many generations he allows us to live through. He knew that the power would be released when we confess one to another. You just shared something with me. And he said, it was a testimony of this passage right here. When we confess to God, we lift that burden. Oh, thank God. He's forgiven me. The blood has cleansed me. But then you still walk around with this. Oh. So one of the practical steps that has helped us live this out is God gave us, whether it was divinely or whatever, we realized we had to set up in our home a safe place. And when we counsel couples, we have to tell them, this has got to be a safe place. Your home must be a safe place. What do I mean by that? I mean, that has to be a place where a man or woman can come home, look their spouse in the eye, and say, I messed up today. I messed up today, and I'm sorry. And the wife or husband must be able to say, Let's pray. Not whatever, but let's pray. It has to be that way. It's the only way a couple can get through anything, whether it's separation, a divorce, lost child, you know, death, whatever. It's got to be that you have a safe place in your home. You see, I have found, not only in my own personal experience, but in counseling other couples, that when it comes to men in particular, we want to confess and go, okay, can we go play football now? You know, it's like, okay, I've just confessed the last 30 years of my life, and, you know, okay, so I'm done, and let's go to Carowinds, you know? But that's the way we think as men, and that's truly not a cop-out. It's just the way men are. It's like, whoo, got that one off my back. Let's move on. It's not so easy now, is it? We've got to, as men, give our spouses time to process and then to heal. And many of us think, oh, it's just time to heal. No, they got to process what you just confessed. And you must, men, you must allow them time to process, then heal. Folks, that could take years. It could. I am so fortunate. God bless me because it didn't take years. God knew that we've got a lot of work to do, and we didn't have time to go through a lot of counseling and a lot of, how are you doing, honey? You know, although we did. We do now. We still do. Once in a while, she'll ask me, okay, you've been traveling a lot. What's been going on? And another practical tip was for those that travel a lot, you got to understand, when you enter another city, you're entering another strong man. Do you understand that? Again, it goes back to what's outlined in Ephesians chapter 6 about the spiritual warfare that's going on. So many times I get off a plane, man, I feel it. Christy knows what I'm talking about. You get off in New Orleans, whew, you want to get right back on the plane. Las Vegas, you don't even want to get off the plane. So we have to recognize that and understand that. So one of the practical steps we started doing was I carry my anointing oil around with me, and I go into the hotel room, and the first thing I do is I anoint the doorposts. I anoint the bed. I drive out any lingering spirits that were residue there from whoever was there before. And I'm telling you, it works. The power of God works if we just use it. It's in us. You want to call out the dead? That resurrection power's in you. You want to save yourself from the havoc of dealing with spirits in a hotel room? Tell them to leave. Just tell them to leave. So there are some practical steps that we take and you can take as well to get through this once confession and forgiveness and all that has happened. And I can't tell you how peaceful our home is, how critical it is, though, that safe haven is set up and established right away. And I would like Karen to share a little bit about that because she was adamant about that.
Well, I needed the trust to be built back up again. And I needed him to be open and honest with me about every feeling he had. Because how can I partner with him and undergird him if I'm not let into his world to know what he's battling? Men battle their eye gate, and women don't have a clue what that is. I don't have a problem with my eye gate. I never, ever have. And most women don't, but men do, because they see a woman. There's all kinds of things that are out there. Lots of women do not dress appropriately. They have way too much skin showing, and it's difficult. Well, I told him, I said, I need to know when you struggle. I need to know what you've encountered when you're out on a call. There was a time he was down at the beach, down near Myrtle Beach, and he had just stepped out to go down to the beach to just kind of pray a little bit, take a deep breath. Well, as fate would have it, or whatever you want to call it, there was a woman bending over getting into her car, and it was not a pretty sight. Well, he had to tell me when we talked on the phone. But that was the kind of honesty that we had to develop. I needed to know so that I could be a partner with him in helping him get the self-control, which is a fruit of the Spirit. But again, had he not been honest with me about those things, the enemy can go in and mess with his mind and let him think, well, I got this thing under control. I don't have to tell her everything anymore. Well, let me tell you, that's what's worked for us, is him being open and honest with me. And he allowed me to, like I said before, to continue asking questions, not to say, like, keep throwing it up in his face and being accusatory, but to be his accountability partner, to say, how you doing? What's going on? And those kind of things, that's helped him and I both stay in that place of deliverance so that I'm not feeling betrayed anymore, and he's not, you know, doing things to betray me. But God, the Holy Spirit in him and me, has also been what has sealed the deliverance. Hallelujah. And that's where every time we pray deliverance over somebody and we know that there's been great deliverance, we begin praying for the Holy Spirit to come in and seal it. That every place that there has been, you know, like Todd spoke about having the truth come in, we also want the Holy Spirit to come in and seal it so that the enemy cannot come back.
Amen. And the work goes on and on and on, mm-hmm, till the day that we join him. It just won't stop. Why? Because it's warfare. We have to get that in our spirit, that and understanding that it is warfare. The enemy will not relent. He won't. He just won't. He wants us dead. Yet we have to understand that. He wants to seek, kill, and destroy us. So, you know, don't grow weary. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Seek God. Seek his face. Seek his word. There's great tools out there. Right now, I just finished a book by Steve Arterburn. Many of you may have heard about it, for men in particular. And it's even written for young men and women. And that is Every Man's Battle. Excellent book. And, you know, again, we grow faith by faith, faith to faith, and glory to glory. And when you think you're you know, you cleared one hurdle and you think you're there, and I read this book, and this book reveals to me what God wants. I mean, it's like, how many times have I read this? I've got to read another book to reveal what God wants? Look, God's going to speak to you any way he can. He uses the jawbone of a donkey. He's going to use anything and any person to speak to you if he knows that's what's going to get through to you. So I'm reading this book, and I'm reading about excellence versus obedience. And the analogy they gave in the book is many American companies today, they give the image of excellence. You look at their TV ads, you look at their billboard ads, you look at their brochures, you even look at their product, and it looks excellent. But underneath, they've imported parts from China. They've imported parts from Taiwan. They've used the most inexpensive parts they could find. They cut a couple people off the assembly line because they need to cut cost. Okay? So excellence looks okay, but they paid a price to get there. They cut a lot of cost out to get to the excellence. So what God is looking for from men is obedience. See, there's many Christian men in this place and in our churches, especially today, that believe that it's okay to look. Oh, I'm just looking. Okay? And I hope I'm not getting off on this is all part of this. It's all part of maintenance, guys. We've got to maintain the house. We've got to maintain the house. There's many men that believe that that is okay. God does not think it's okay. Jesus made it very clear. If you just look upon a handmaiden with lust in your heart, you have committed adultery. Well, that's sin. Pure and simple. That's just sin. And so many of these Christian men are going, it's just up here. You know, I just didn't look that long. I just glanced. But she's just really beautiful, and I just love the way she dresses, and blah, 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 blah. You sin, brother. Just call it what it is. And it made me realize that God's not going to compromise. He's not going to give in to anything that he's written in his word. He's not going to change his mind about what he wrote. So, men, maintain the house. I would highly recommend that book once your pastor endorses it after he looks at it. But for men, specifically, because that's what I am, and that's what I read. But thank God. You definitely want to get that book. And get this, as God would have it, it came into my lap, into my hand, just before a trip to Las Vegas that I had to take for my work, because I'm still a sales executive for a software company. So, but I had to get on that plane with this book in my hand, and here I am, a plane full of, you know, probably 200 people going out there to sin. I mean, I'm not judging. Believe me, you understand what I'm saying. Most of the people on that plane were going out there with something in mind that was not in God's will. And here I am reading this book. This is awesome. And so I get off that plane, and for the first time in about 1,800 trips out to Las Vegas, I was able to just approach it so much differently. I mean, it was phenomenal how God used that book to speak to me about my eye gate. And if you haven't noticed, I am okay with being transparent with y'all. Amen. The enemy is defeated. We have crushed him. Amen. Under our heel. Do you understand that? You have crushed him under your heel. You have the power to do this. And so before we close today, you have one more chance. One more chance. Before we close, to lay it all down here and just let the Holy Spirit just burn it up with his refining fire.
The other thing I wanted to say is our children, our daughter is 20 and our son is 17. He'll be 18 next week. And when all of this was going on in our house, they were old enough at the time to know that things were going on. And I told you the confession that began on the 5th of June. Well, on, I believe it was the 17th of June, which was Father's Day that year, Phil got up and testified in the church, and that was before we had gone through the deliverance. And so he got up and testified of what God had been bringing him through, not to any great extent, but it was obvious that it was a sexual thing and obvious that it had been very hard. And he asked me to stand in support of him. You talk about something hard. But the Spirit of the Lord would not let me stay down. I had to pop up when he said, "Honey, will you stand?" And it was such a strong testimony. Well, my kids, obviously, were in the church, and they knew something was going on. So we ended up having to talk with them. They, to this day, do not know the full extent of all that has gone on, but they know a great deal. But there was, that gave us the opportunity to break the generational mess over them. Yes. They understand spiritual warfare. They know how to war in the spirit. They both intercede. They both walk in the prophetic. And they're both very anointed to minister. Yes. And we had to bring them into what was going on. And so consider your situation about including your children if they're old enough to understand, especially if you have grown children that could possibly need that to get freed up for their lives. If you've got 20, 25, 30-year-olds, even 40-year-olds that need that breakthrough for that generational thing, consider sharing with your children. Let them know what God is doing in your life. That also defeats the enemy.
Just reminded me of something. Woohoo! Yeah, we're ping ponging now. You may be here till 6. Sorry. I just got so excited because she reminded me of something that happened that day that I confessed in front of about 300 people that I didn't even know. But we were already placed in leadership just within a few months before that at that church. So again, I knew it just didn't matter. It just didn't matter. God called me to do it. It had to be done. Our pastor got up and said, "Now that's one of our leaders." Instantly, by the Spirit, he knew what just took place. that I was set free, and that if anybody in leadership could do what he needed us to do, it was Karen and I at that time. You understand what I'm just saying? I'm not trying to puff us up. I'm just saying he affirmed immediately. That is the heart of a pastor. When he sees a sheep that has come back and has been healed and has been made whole, he should rejoice. And that's what he did. That's what he did. And I know that's what your pastors will do. I know it by the Spirit. Last thing I'll say about all this, you must develop an accountability group. You must. Not just one man. No. And again, I'm speaking to men mostly because it's from my perspective. We go through these things and we confess and then we go, okay, Todd, you're my accountability partner, okay? All right, I want you to call me every week and ask me how I'm doing, okay? And about 3 weeks go by, you know, Todd doesn't call because Todd's busy. Do you think I call? Oh, no. No. Okay. We're all busy. Don't put that on one person. Don't you dare do that. You get an accountability group. And you know who my accountability partner is? It's my wife. It's my wife. It's the Holy Spirit. It's people like Todd. It's several other men at that church. Okay, and one last thing. Sorry. That's about 14 last things. I told you, 6 o'clock. Oh, Lord, I tell you. Oh, now I forgot. It must not have been important. But the accountability thing is just absolutely, you know, critical. And you've got to get that in your spirit. I know I'm going to think of the other thing as soon as we walk off the stage. Yeah. Praise God. Give the Holy Spirit a hand because he is thick in this place. Hallelujah.
Why don't you hang around till you remember it, because I know it'll be good. Okay, we want to recap a little bit here. In teaching one last night, we did rewriting our identity with the Word. Okay, now, in rewriting our identity, it's not only exposing the lies and replacing them with the truth, but as we put the truth and write it on our tablets of our heart, a lot of times we not only recover part of ourselves that was lost, but we begin to realize the office that God created us to function in within the church, or the giftings that he's given us. So part of what we want to do when we minister before we close today is we want to offer you the opportunity to testify about who you are in Christ. See, this is not just about putting down the lies, but it's about becoming all that God created you to be so you can function healthily and happily in the body. In teaching number 2, we went over inner healing and deliverance that comes as a result of dispelling these lies. It gets us out of the cycle of victimization and into victory, so we don't continue repeating the same habitual thinking patterns. Okay, and in this last teaching, we have been released to run the race. Now, one of the ways that God releases is through the laying on of hands. When the Holy Spirit was passed on in the New Testament, it was by the laying on of hands. When Paul saw them, he said, we've not even heard of the Holy Spirit. I'm still full of spirit right now. Woo, God is so good. And they said, we've not even heard of such. And they laid hands upon the believers. And the believers received the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And as the ministry team begins to line up, if you have never experienced the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want you to come first. And then if you have, but you need just a new refilling, you need the gifts of God stirred up within you. And the Bible says also by the laying on of hands, you can stir up the gifts of God in you. Then we want you to come down. That's what this first altar call will be. And it's a releasing for you. An affirming through the word that God's given you of who you are, but also a releasing so that you can run the race and be, maybe you're not the tortoise you thought you were, and you're going to get into the hare pattern, and you're going to run the race with the speed of the hare. Okay? And then what we want to do, we want to make sure nobody leaves this place without having gotten what you came for. So the only way that you're being held back is by your own self. We're here. We want to meet you where you are. We want to put our faith in agreement with yours and see the plan of God come to pass in your life. So this last altar call that we have, don't be reticent to sit back, but I want you to come. And I believe, Pastor, you said there's going to be an opportunity for testimony tomorrow morning as well from some of us. Is it available for others in the group too as well? Okay. So whether you want to testify now or you want to testify tomorrow, that's up to you. But don't fail to testify. That's your overcoming power. And a lot of times, like I said, you will be surprised when you get up in faith. A lot of times, I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth, but the Holy Spirit said, go, so I'm there. And then the microphone gets handed to me, and it comes out, and I'm learning as I speak. Sometimes you just have to obey, and you have to be quick to obey. The quicker you are to obey, the greater the blessing, because you'll be in a tailspin and in torment when you're in disobedience. You know, so just get up and do it. Get it over with. And then you'll find the joy. And the next time, he'll call you to do something greater with a greater reward. It just builds. It builds like that. Okay. So right now, I want you to come down if you've got a testimony to share. Come on with us right now. I'm waiting. I know we already had some good ones. I don't know how you can, you know. Say it. I knew it would come back.
No, it's really more about what this woman said earlier. If any of you leave this place not knowing how much God loves you, then we didn't do our job. But we came here because God sent us. And you know what? He really could have sent us for just you, because that's how much he loves you. And I praise God for your testimony. Not only because it made me feel better, but because I know that we came for you. And to get you healed up in a place of power. And God would do that. He would do that. He would ordain this whole time and all these people and all this preparation for years, not just a few weeks, for just one of you. Just one of you. Do you understand that? That's how much he loves you guys.
Thank you, Jesus. Alone time. And this is a personal thing the church body knows, but I had E. coli bacteria 5 years ago. That's why I've been using the walker. And God is healing me from that. He has healed me more this weekend than I've ever been healed in my life. But I have an overactive bladder, and God has healed that. I went to the urologist 2 months ago, and they gave me a new medication for this overactive bladder because they knew I love working with youth. But we prayed the prayer of Jabez. We've been praying it for 5 years. When Pastor Fox was here, I guess it's been 6 years ago, we started praying the prayer of Jabez. And I was in the bathroom, and he said, and I was just praising the Lord because a month ago I couldn't even feel I had to go to the bathroom. And I mean, that's been 5 years. And this sounds ugly to men maybe, but I had to cath myself for 4.5 years, every 4 hours. And I had to learn how to do that before I got out of the hospital. So God has been so good to me, and he endures forever and ever and ever. But when I was in there and I was praising the Lord, and I said, okay, they're going to hear me in here praising the Lord. But you know, it's an awesome testimony. We have one of our people here that's having some of the bladder problems, and I've tried to tell him, God is so good, and he's going, not no respecter of persons, but he's going to heal you just like he's healed me. But what I wanted to tell you, when I went to the urologist in Greensboro, North Carolina, he put me on this new medication, and he wanted me to try it for a month. And it's called Ventura, and it was Santra. And he came in 3 times in 30 minutes, and he said, boy, the last month, that medicine has really helped you a lot. I am over the board of urologists, and I want to send your testimony to a website. And he said, and he came in 3 times and said, is it okay if we send your phone number so you can testify about this overactive bladder and this medicine? They have called me from New York and from California. Nothing I did. And I said, give God the glory, because the Lord had given me a dream that if anything ever happens to any of us, for us to give him the glory for it, because he's got to have the glory. And you were so on target with your ministry today. All of you have. recognize, and I praise God for my pastor, and I always say to him, he puts up with me. But if you just give God the glory, and they called me Friday and left a message on my Instagram. She said, we've got a photographer coming to take a picture of you, and if we can't find the photographer to come and take a picture of you to put this on the website, and we're just back and forth with this whole thing. It's been about a month and a half now. But I just give God the glory. And so I've told my medical doctor, which is the president of the businessmen's meeting here in Galax, that he hadn't even heard of this medicine. But then I went to the nursing home. My mama's over there and telling the doctors over there. But this medicine, if anybody has any problem, tell your doctor to contact this neurologist. I've already given Bill Isom the name that you can get on this medicine, because God is in control. He's always in control.
Thank you, sweetie.
God bless you. I'm sorry.
God bless
Thank you.
No,
God bless you.
Okay, it's time for the altar call. God wants to meet your needs, no matter where you are, what you're believing for. If it's in His Word, come forward and let us agree with you, okay? Right now, we're just going to open the altar up. And if you have your needs met, you are released. And we will meet with you again on Sunday morning, and want to thank you. I want to thank our pastors for allowing us to be here with you, for allowing us to break the bread of the Word of God. And I'm expecting lasting fruit in your lives. I'm expecting tomorrow morning we want to get to worship with you and praise God and thank Him for what He's done in your lives and your hearts. But we want to also observe the fruit of our labors. That's why we stayed over. I said, you know, I love my home church. I said, but this is going to be such a good time. We want to be able to rest and enjoy the finished work of God. And so we're going to be here to worship and celebrate with you in the morning. And I just want to thank you for being here with us. Now, it's not over. I mean, we end at 4 o'clock today, but we...